From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before we get to this week's episode, I want to let you know that last week, the Postal Service Board of Governors conducted their first meeting of the 2026 calendar year. Despite reporting that on-time deliveries improved from the previous year, the meeting illuminated sobering financial data. In sum, the Postal Service lost $1.3 billion during the first quarter of fiscal year 2026, a quarter which is supposed to be peak mail season where the Postal Service should thrive. It was not to be. The meaningful first quarter loss compared with an $100 million profit for the previous period last year. Notably, expenses were held in check. However, postage revenue declined and mail volume declined. Most alarmingly, however, was a 12% drop in parcel volume, a product on which former Postmaster General Louis DeJoy banked a postal future. In part, the Postal Service has blamed the overall mail volume decline in 2026 in it not being an election year, and as a result, profitable election mail was not part of the mail mix. The Postmaster General, that's Postmaster General Steiner, and the Chairman of the Board of Governors, McReynolds, renewed their calls to Congress and the White House to reform the unfair method by which postal pensions are calculated, expand the ability of the Postal Service to diversify postal investments, raise the postal debt ceiling from $15 billion, revise the Postal Service's workers' compensation program, and provide the Postal Service with expanded rate-setting authority. NAPS will be weighing in on these issues at our upcoming March Legislative Conference and associated Capitol Hill lobbying. In addition, last week, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform passed H.R. 7265, the Vote by Mail Tracking Act, bipartisan legislation to require election ballots mailed within the United States to be mailed in an envelope with a unique barcode that permits tracking the ballot through the mail. This bipartisan bill was introduced by Representative Kwasi Mufumai, ranking Democrat on the Postal Subcommittee, and Pete Session, the subcommittee's chairman. The bill passed with a 43-1 majority. It now goes to the House floor. Now, let's continue with the topic of mail tracking with this week's Naps Chat guest, Dave Lewis, president of Snailworks. In a large part, Snailworks is a private sector mail tracking and performance monitoring company. Prior to leading Snailworks, Dave founded a company that was bought out by Pitney Bowes several years ago. Dave is a nationally recognized expert in mail metrics. During today's conversation, I'll let Dave speak more about what Snailworks does and how it interacts with the Postal Service. Dave prides himself on trying to make postal technology interesting and humorous. We'll try to test the humorous element today. Welcome to Naps Chat, Dave.
Hi, Bob. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Hey, Dave, what makes mail technology humorous?
What's not funny about the mail? It's, I just try to take a lighthearted approach to what we do. It's the industry itself. It's a lot of, it's a lot of creative, energetic people. And there's a lot of, in any organization that big, there's anecdotes and challenges that we all can either laugh or cry. So we try to laugh about it.
That's good. Let's talk a little bit about Snailworks. What is Snailworks and how large is it?
Snailworks is, we are primarily a mail tracking company. We work with the Postal Service's Informed Visibility Program, and our role is to sort of take that and translate it into reports that people can understand and get use out of it. It's a complicated program, so we're trying to help them with that. As far as size, we're a small company. We have 14 employees. But we track a lot of mail. Last year, we tracked about 5 billion pieces of mail for a variety of clients.
Who are the types of folks, or what type of clients do you actually have?
Well, it's really anyone who produces mail. A lot of our customers are mail service providers, mail houses, pre-sort bureaus, people like that who are actually preparing mail professionally. And then the organizations they work for may be charities, it may be insurance companies, anyone who generates a lot of mail. And we do some other services as well. We help people with informed delivery campaigns and things like that as well. We're just trying to make mail a little bit better for people to use.
What type of advice do you provide your clients?
Well, we're kind of postal experts, so almost anything postal, people will call us with questions for. We've really tried to make education a big part of our business philosophy. But the main thing we're telling people is when your mail got mailed, when it was placed in the mail, and that it was, and when it got delivered, and how you can use that to try to trigger other channels and things like that.
Let me hone in on that point about when mail gets delivered and how it's tracked. SnailWorks regularly posts national on-time delivery data. At times, your performance numbers differ from the Postal Service's data, sometimes substantially. For example, for the week beginning February 2, 2026, SnailWorks indicated that a typical first-class mail piece took slightly over 4 days to deliver, while the Postal Service reported slightly under 3 days. That's more than a day's difference. Could you explain these differences? For example, are you looking at the same data set? Are you using the same measurement tools?
It's a good question, and I can only answer my half of it, sort of, which is, the methods we use, which are very similar to what the Postal Service does, which is, in order for us to count a piece and measure how long it took to get delivered, we need a start the clock event, in other words, an acceptance scan somewhere that shows when the mail was entered. And then we have to see a delivery scan. We have to see that the piece was delivered, which is the same measurement method that the Postal Service uses for the vast majority of what they do. Now, they're tracking all the mail or a substantial percentage of it. Some stuff falls out of measurement that they do, which the industry kind of doesn't like sometimes. But for us, we're tracking the mail that our customers do. So it's certainly not all the mail, but they're significant samples. The week you talk about, for example, that week we tracked included in our sample was 8.5 million pieces. So that's a very significant sample, and it's coming from hundreds of destinations to millions of different addresses. So, we're using the same measurement. Why the differences are there, I don't know. We don't have a horse in the race, so we have no motivation to make it look good or bad. We just want to give our customers some kind of information on how they can plan around it. So what difference in how the Postal Service does it, I can't say for sure.
Does the change in the postmark, that now postmarks are not since DFA was integrated into the postal network, that postmarks now are being affixed to mailed material further upstream than they used to be, does that affect tracking?
Yes and no. The way it works is, and really the difference is not further upstream, it's just taking it longer to get upstream.
Okay.
So as an example, I'm in Frederick, Maryland, which is by the way, the second biggest city in Maryland, but still we're considered rural because we're more than 50 miles from the Baltimore facility. So if I drop a piece of mail in the mailbox here in Frederick, it'll get picked up by the carrier today. But they have canceled the evening run, the evening truck runs. So it'll sit in the mail in the post office overnight locally, and then it'll go to the Baltimore facility tomorrow morning. And then that evening, actually, it goes through the canceling process. And so the date will be the date after I dropped it in the box. It lost a day by not being picked up in the evening. And that's a program the Postal Service put in called, I think it's Route Transport Optimization, something like RTO, I know is the initials. And so that affects, now as far as our customers go, people mailing commercial mail, that doesn't affect us much because we're not looking for that postmark in the same way. But for individuals, for example, if you're mailing your taxes, don't drop it in the mailbox on April 15th. You may not get it postmarked until the next day. So it really affects the general public more than it affects our commercial mailers.
So you do not track first-class single-piece mail?
No, we don't track. We just track commercial mail.
Okay, so for commercial mail, you will pick up the track at the first time it's scanned, and it may not be scanned till it reaches the processing plant.
No, in most cases it'll the entry plant, yes.
Yes.
We'll get us usually when the truck arrives at the post office, at the facility where they're entering it, they'll scan the pallet as it comes off, and that's where we get the first scan.
Now, a good portion of your operation looks at direct mail, your commercial direct mail. Mm-hmm. How does digital communication, because there's a pivot to more digitally, you know, particularly with younger people using digital communications rather than hard copy direct mail, but how does digital communications impact direct mail?
Well, it certainly has an impact. Direct mail and digital work together a lot, so there is some commonality in them. But digital communications, it's certainly driven down mail volume. I think that affects first class mail more than other classes because people pay their bills online. All that remittance mail has kind of gone away or has been dramatically reduced. I don't think, but you mentioned age. You know, there's been a lot of statistics I've seen showing that actually younger people really like mail. It's kind of exciting them that someone sent them a piece of mail, and they respond very well to it.
How does digital communication impact the use of direct mails? Have you seen your clients or people that ask you to track the mail have reduced their use of the Postal Service as a result of a pivot to digital communications?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think maybe it's the opposite, because even with digital communications, you have to drive people to a place to buy it. And almost no one is pure direct mail or pure digital. So everyone is working with multiple channels. And so direct mail, in most cases these days, if you look at direct mail, it's driving someone to a website. It's driving them into the digital world. You see a lot of that in the promotions the Postal Service runs that gives discounts to mailers for doing these things, for adding some technology to their mail. So really, they work very well together. I don't think it hurts direct mail. I think it just gives a different destination for the prospect to go.
How effective is direct mail as compared to digital mail?
Well, it's very effective. It's got and I've seen a number of studies that show it's got the highest ROI really of any direct marketing channel, return on investment. You know, but the trick is the investment's big. Direct mail is expensive. It costs, if I want to send an email to, or I have something I want to send to 5,000 of my best friends, I can send them an email for virtually nothing. So I can do it without really thinking about it. Whereas if I'm going to send them a piece of mail, it's going to be a much more expensive proposition. So I'm going to tend to think that through a little bit more and make sure that I make the most of that investment. So a lot of digital mail is kind of throwaway. It's easy to throw it together and just send it out there for almost nothing. But direct mail, I think, has shown time and time again, it's better at building business. Nonprofits can't live without it. There is no alternative in fundraising, really, to direct mail. They raise some money online, but virtually all charity fundraising is through the mail.
Now, part of SnailWorks' operation is you give advice for digital marketing campaigns, it would appear, because I've noticed that you do political mail, you do charitable, and so forth. What advice do you give to folks who want to use the mail to engage in a marketing campaign as compared to a digital marketing campaign?
Well, we always tell them to track their mail, of course, but that's my favorite line. Generally, again, we're telling them to be conscious of the digital channel when they're doing their mail. Make sure it drives to that. Make sure things are, that there are things, if people are going to scan a QR code or something like that, that it's going to a compatible site, that they think through the whole process and how one thing is going to impact the other.
Do you coordinate your efforts with the Postal Service?
My tracking efforts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely. I mean, the data comes from the Postal Service. It is the informed visibility data comes from them. We participate in MTAC committees and things like that discuss this to try to get scan rates better. It's a challenge, for example, on flat mail. A lot of times it doesn't get the same kind of scan rates because maybe the pallets aren't being scanned when they should be and things like that. So we're always working with them to try to improve that. So there's a lot of engagement between us and the Postal Service.
So you make recommendations to the Postal Service as to how to more effectively use its intelligent mail program.
Yep.
Do you find that they are receptive to your recommendations?
Most days, it's no. They're sincerely looking for ways to be better. They wouldn't ask our opinion otherwise. And so, I think they are. There is a divide sometimes between, you know, between headquarters, I think, and the network, you know, sort of the field, if you will. So, you know, communicating things down to the field might be a little more difficult.
Now, you had spoken about integration of digital communications with hard copy communications and how they can work in tandem. Could you talk about the opportunities to create, and I'm going to refer to it as hybrid mail pieces, that integrate digital platforms and move customers to better utilize the Postal Service? Do you see that as one of your functions?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, first of all, part of the challenge in doing that is coordinating the timing. You know, digital channels are very easy to precisely time. Direct mail's not. It's just by its nature, it takes, you know, days to deliver. So knowing when things get delivered and so you can communicate, that's a big part of what we do is we send what we call trigger files that say, okay, this mail got delivered. You can call them now or send an email or whatever else that may be. Another application, we're in prototype at SnailWorks right now, is we actually do have an AI application where when someone gets a piece of mail, they can scan a QR code, and the QR code will take them to an AI agent, a fake human being, who will chat with them about the product they have and sort of direct them to respond. So there's a lot of interchange between, you know, direct mail is a technology too, and maybe it's not as sexy as digital, but it's a technology as well. So there's a lot of coordination between them.
Yeah, I want to talk about the company's name, SnailWorks. Snail has a particular image. I know in your company logo, it is a graphic iteration of a snail. Are we presupposing slow mail speed?
Of course, no, we're not. When we started, you know, it was, we thought it was a funny name. Actually, the name originally came when we were batting around some names for it, and we had our slogan was "Hail the Snail." Because snail, when we talk about snail mail, it's not a pejorative term. It's when you compare it to email or other methods of communication, it is slower, and people know what snail mail is. I don't think it's necessarily pejorative. And then, but our objective, of course, it's Snail Works. We want to make it work better. So that was really where the name came from. And you know, when you're naming a .com, to me the most important thing is it's easy to remember and spell. So it kind of worked out for us.
Okay, I had to ask that question.
and usually, occasionally we run into, actually, Postmaster General DeJoy met one of my sales guys at the Postal Forum a couple of years ago, and my sales guy had a bow tie with snails on it, and he said, "What's the snails about?" And he said, "Well, I work for SnailWorks." And he says, "What's SnailWorks do?" And he described it to him. When he's done, he said, "I like what you do. I like that, but I hate the name." So, you know, not everyone can love it.
Now, I note that one of SnailWorks' products involves ballot tracking and electoral advocacy pieces. Earlier, you know, I spoke about a committee passage of the Vote by Mail Tracking Act. If that bill were to be enacted, how would that impact ballot tracking? And could you talk about the effectiveness of political mailings?
Oh, absolutely. Well, then there's kind of two things you're talking about there. Political mail, the advocacy mail, is just massive volumes of mail, which we love tracking. You know, it's vote for me kind of stuff. And we'll track probably a billion pieces of that this year, it being an election year. And that's kind of really just regular direct mail, just a lot of it. The ballot tracking is more interesting, and we do that as well. We track we've tracked Chicago elections, Cook County, a number of elections in California and Arizona. And what we're doing in those cases is we're putting a unique IntelliJmail barcode on the ballot being mailed out to the voter, and then the ballot coming back has another one, and what's kind of neat is we could track those as they go through the mail, as we would any other mail, and then we can share that information with the voter as well. But we give them a link, they click on it, and so the voter can see where their mail is, and it really, I think, helps with the credibility. You know, there's no doubt that it's a challenge for vote by mail. It's a very charged political issue. I think the credibility is very good. But anything you can do to enhance that is good. So tracking helps. You know, and regarding the vote by mail tracking, any any bill that has the name of our product in it is pretty exciting. We like that. It's passed through committee a couple of times before, but we're hoping it'll get through the House this time because it really will add the credibility.
I believe it passed the House last year, the last Congress, but it didn't go anywhere in the Senate. So, and it had overwhelming bipartisan support. Because I think people want to know that their vote is being counted, and this is probably the best way if you vote by mail to do so. Let me – final question, Dave. Is SnailWorks bullish on the Postal Service?
Oh, absolutely. The Postal Service, as I said, there's sort of almost two Postal Services we deal with. And the people at headquarters, sometimes, you know, we butt heads with them a little bit because that's kind of our role. But when you get out into the field, you know, my letter carriers are just fabulous. Everyone that I work with at the post office, you know, they're truly dedicated to their mission. And we appreciate that. And we still see we're tracking billions of pieces of mail, and it's very effective for our customers. So absolutely, we are bullish on the Postal Service.
I appreciate that. And I want to thank you, Dave, for joining us today on Naps Chat. I want to thank Dave Lewis, president of SnailWorks, for joining us this week. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on. Please share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy. Hello.